Welcome to Reform Voices of Torah, the Monday edition of 10 Minutes of Torah. This coming Shabbat, we will read Parashat Va'era, Exodus 6:2 through 9:35. And we will read the Haftarah, Ezekiel 28:25 through 29:21. This week, we bring you commentary from Rabbi Stephanie M. Alexander, called What It Takes to Fulfill the Promise. There is a section of Parashat Va'era that might sound familiar to those who have experienced a Passover Seder. We read, "Say therefore to the Israelite people, I am the Eternal. I will free you from the labors of the Egyptians and deliver you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and through extraordinary chastisements. And I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I, the Eternal, am your God, who freed you from the labors of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. I, the Eternal." At the Seder, we do not read these three verses together all at one time. Instead, each of the four promises is mentioned with one of the four cups of wine we raise, bless, and drink throughout the meal. With cup number one, we have Vehotzeti, I will free you. With cup number two, Vehitzalti, I will deliver you. With cup number three, Vega'alti, I will redeem you. And with cup number four, Velakachti, I will take you. The Passover Seder commemorates each of these completed stages of our redemption as we literally drink a toast to each one. As for the fifth assertion, to bring us into the land that was promised to our ancestors, here the sages disagreed. Some said, yes, this promise has been fulfilled. The Israelites' 40 years of wandering in the desert came to an end. They settled in the promised land, and so we should drink a fifth cup. Yet other sages said, no, this promise has not yet been fulfilled. While the ancient Israelites once flourished in the promised land, devastating exile followed. Thus they say, we should not drink a fifth cup. What to do? Their solution, we do have a fifth cup, but we don't drink it. We set aside the fifth cup for Elijah, for we are taught that when he comes, heralding the arrival of the Messiah, all questions will be answered. It's hard to believe that this would be the most pressing promise, but there you have it. At the same time, ancient sages and modern commentators agree about these verses and others in Torah that our sacred text is not redundant. Therefore, each of these five promises must be different, a unique stage of our redemption, a piece of the whole. Liberation, we learn, is a process. It only begins with the granting of freedom or emancipation. But as we read in Etz Chaim Torah and Commentary, it is not enough to remove the burden of slavery. They, those who have been enslaved, must also have the proper circumstances that will permit them to flourish as God's people. The Reform Haggadah called The Open Door identifies the first stage as simple awareness. As we read, when we are numb to the pain of bondage, we do not know that we are enslaved. When we acknowledge and address that pain, we become God's partners in liberation. The fourth stage is covenant, an eternal and essential commitment on behalf of all parties that liberation will be full, inclusive, and lasting. This, too, has yet to be fulfilled. In North America today, the United States still struggles with the vestiges of slavery, and it is worth asking where it is in the process of liberation. The country's Emancipation Proclamation took effect on January 1, 1863, freeing enslaved individuals from a certain kind of grueling, driven labor. Yet that was only stage one. It would be decades upon decades before additional promises would materialize in the form of legislation to safeguard the right of African Americans to vote, integrate public schools, and protect against discrimination in employment. However, far from propelling liberation forward, each of those promises has proven susceptible to, at least partially, revocation. Abiding, systematic racial disparities in virtually every aspect of American society, from education to criminal justice to home ownership to health care, suggest we are far from the covenantal commitments that would accompany a higher level of liberation. In January of 1963, exactly one century after the proclamation, Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel addressed the attendees at a Chicago conference on religion and race. He said, "At the first conference on religion and race, the main participants were Pharaoh and Moses. Moses' words were, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me.' The outcome of that summit meeting has not yet come to an end. Pharaoh is not ready to capitulate. The Exodus began, but it is far from having been completed. In fact, it was easier for the children of Israel to cross the Red Sea than for a Negro to cross certain university campuses. We are not commanded merely to remember and celebrate the Exodus, and we cannot wait for Elijah. It is our responsibility to help advance liberation toward completion." Rabbi Stephanie M. Alexander is the senior rabbi at Kahal Kadosh Beit Elohim in Charleston, South Carolina. She is a past president and founding member of the Charleston Area Justice Ministry, a faith-based social justice organization of 29 diverse congregations.